while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
We are still in the New Year season. And it is the second Sunday of the year. So for us here at Ardsale Baptist Church, it's our Vision Sunday where we look at our motto verse, the verse that God has given us for the year. Churches have our year of this, our year of that, and those things are wonderful and great. For us, we root it in Scripture. So every year, over the past few years, we do this every year. God graciously leads us as a leadership team to decide or finalize a verse, and that verse becomes our anchor for the year. And as many of you will have seen, every time we have these motto verses, somehow we're seeing God work through these verses. We're seeing Him fulfill His promises. How many of you have made New Year's resolutions? Don't be shy. One, just one person. The rest of you don't make resolutions. Wow, isn't that amazing? Where's two? Okay, two. Gosh, I mean that's a very interesting statistic. Where's Lillian? We did the show. How many people listen to Being Mindful? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hands are popping up and down. We Being Mindful show, we talked about resolutions. And I said, here are 7 resolutions every Christian should make. So clearly, that tells us who's listening, right? So those statistics don't include these guys. Yeah. Mm. That's why I'm not having morning breakfast, because of that. So those of you who make New Year's resolutions, how many of you are going to keep your New Year's resolutions by the end of January? Don't put your hand up. Don't put your hand up. You see, unfortunately, most people, by the end of January, middle of February, in fact, by March, I think it was, something like 95% of New Year's resolutions have been forgotten. Forgotten. They've already been broken. God is not like us. He keeps His promises. Last year in 2023, we made the promise to keep our eyes on the Lord. Our motto verse, taken from the book of Psalms, thank you. Motto verse, we promised to keep our eyes on the Lord. We anticipated what was to come, knowing that things were going to get rough. And we said that because God was right here with us, we would not be afraid. That's what we said. We said we would not be shaken in 2023. So how did we do with that? Didn't the enemy come for us in 2023? I say this again. I said it a few minutes ago. I said, was it just me? I mean, 2023 was like a boof and a boof and a boof. Yeah, you felt it too, right? I saw that flurry, 1-2, 1-2. It was a lot of a challenge for a lot of us. And I had to keep going back to this confession, to keep my eyes always on the Lord, for with Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Our motto for 2024, it's part of our theme for today, our Bible text for today. It's right here on screen. It's at the front of the church. If you're in the building, there was one on every seat this morning for you to take. Stick it on your fridge. And later on this week, we're going to have them electronically. So if you want it for your Facebook picture or your WhatsApp status or whatever, we're going to have versions of them, phbc.org.uk/motto verse. There'll be a link and you can just go on your phone and just save it to your phone and do what you want with it. This year's motto verse is Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, which says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And we're going to follow this verse from now right through the year, as we start off the year. So it's a great time. This is the time of the year where we start. It's that time of the year where we make resolutions. It's that time of the year where we come to decisions. It's the time for promises. It's the time that we see and we still recognize that things are new. And it's interesting, when we crossed into this year, the crossover service, the watch night service, we saw God show up and tell us that, listen, I am more than enough. He is more than enough. So this is the time of the year for some people for reviewing. This is the time of the year when we take stock of our lives. We look back to where we come from. We look back where we come from and we figure out, actually, I think I might need some help. We review where we're coming from. I think I said this last year as well. This is the time when people start trying to connect with therapists, counselors, consultants, advisors, you know. Oh yes, you know, I need a financial advisor. And I want to get counseling. I need a therapist. I need a, and on and on and on. They seek assistance, removing where they were to where they should be or where they could be. You know, many of us, many people, not just us, many people are trying to break old habits. Yeah. You know, I know two people who said, you know what? I want to get baptized this year, you know, and that's wonderful, absolutely wonderful that you stepped up and you came for baptism class. That's really, that just, that really, really made my week last week. I didn't tell you, but, well, I've said it now, so, you know, many people are trying to form new habits. Some people are trying to start a business, you know, lose weight, get fit. Some people are trying to gain weight. Some people are trying to know God more, serve God more, love God more. What needs change? What needs reviewing in your life? And are you asking God for help? And when you ask him and he answers, do you hear what he says? And when you hear what he says, do you heed? Do you follow what he says? So this season is for reviewing. But this season is also a time for people for renewing. It's that time where we start to express ourselves confidently in who we are. People's, and, or who we're supposed to be. Where people start to express themselves. You know what? This is the new me. This is me. You know, I can't remember. I think it's a great song, but all I can remember is, this is me. I can't remember. Do you know the song I'm talking about? Oh, a few people. Anybody? Pardon? Greatest Showman. Yes. All I remember is, this is me. You know the song, right? Come on, man. Don't. Come. You flop me, Jamal. We just met and everything, you know? I'm going to have to unfriend you on Facebook. Yeah, this is, all I can remember is, this is me. And people are going through that, this is me. You know, the new me, woo, you know. Where they're supposed to be. These are the people who are actually joining the gym. Not just, like we said on the Being Mindful show, there was a guy who joined a gym. He's paying like £60 a month. And at the end of the year, I think he'd been twice. I said, listen, contact the guy. I'll text him my bank account. He can send it to me. £720 for the whole year. And he just left it there. Maybe twice to the gym. I'm like, wow. So the people who are pressing into renewal are the people who are saying, I'm not just reviewing it, I'm just thinking about it, talking about it. These are people who are actually doing it. These are people who are actually losing weight. These are people actually searching for a job. These are people actually brushing down their CV and talking to people and saying, can you advise me? Help me with my personal statement. These are people who are doing those. These are people who are taking steps to move house, go to the gym. These are the ones who have had enough of being a victim of circumstance and are doing something about it. People who are not just going to wait for something to happen, but are going to make something happen. Now, for many people, this is also a time of rejoicing. Rejoicing at what the Lord has done. Rejoicing at how far God has brought them. There are some folks who never forget what God has done. People that have an attitude of gratitude. Yeah, and they embody that. They don't have an attitude of grumbling. They have an attitude of gratitude. People that hold on to the message that Pastor Manuela preached last week, and they sing that famous hymn, count your blessings, name them. Count your blessings. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Woo! Remember, the motto verse for this year. What is that? Be joyful in. I mean, you know, how are you going to fail that test? It's right there. It's right there. And you have the card on your seat. I don't understand. Jumokewo, I don't understand. This year's motto verse tells us to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And this is what we're to journey in 2024. This is our focus for the year. This is what we're doing this year. Our journey now. When a journey is going to last a year, you break it into bits, correct? You break it into bits. And that's what I've done. That's what I've done with this verse. So today's theme is let's get going. And our journey into Romans 12:12, begins today. And so today, all I want you to do is just focus on the first section, being joyful in hope. To be joyful in hope. So what does that mean? What can that mean to us? What can that mean for us? What should it mean to you? What should it mean for you to be joyful in hope? Personally, I like the book of Romans. It's one of my favorite books in the whole of the Bible. The book of Romans was written by Paul, and those of you who don't know, it was a letter from Paul to the people of Rome. And as much as it was written by Paul, it wasn't delivered by Paul. The book of Romans, and it's one of those things when people talk about women in ministry, the book of Romans was delivered by a woman. Phoebe was one of the deacons of the church. Paul gave it to Phoebe, say, yeah, go to Rome. So she is the one that stood, you know, in the church, in the assembly, declaring these words, teaching these words, explaining these words to the people. Yeah, she was the one entrusted to do that. Anyway, like I said, I love the book of Romans. And beside the fact that it's one of Paul's greatest letters, it's also my favorite scripture, my life scripture, comes from the book of Romans. So to understand the context of this verse, Romans 12:12, which is our verse for today, you have no choice but to look at the whole chapter. Look at the whole of... Pardon? Oh, thought I did something wrong. Yeah, I know. Yeah, Babs is saying she forgot to read it. It's okay. I've got you. The Holy Spirit prepared me. Yeah. Isn't that right? Isn't that right, Holy Spirit? Yeah, I heard him. He said yes. He said, don't worry, I've got you, son. I've got you. Yeah. So the context of the verse is to look at the whole of Romans chapter 12. And when you look at Romans chapter 12 is calling you to offer yourself totally to God. Romans 12 is one of those that's give yourself to God. Stop holding stuff back. It's calling you to do that and to do it with a new mindset. Romans 12 isn't just about doing. It's also about the attitude with which we do for God. And through this, we discover God's will for our life. And through this, we can be fulfilled. Romans 12, in fact, the section where this verse comes from is a section that starts to talk about love and what love means, the practicality of love. So there's a section in Romans 12 when you look at it, and verse 12 comes out of that, where it's talking about what love looks like practically, how love can flow through us, how love can change us, how love can change us, how love can change our world. Let me tell you this right now. When we talk about this, you know, this phrase, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, there is a key difference, and most of you, I'm sure, might have heard this before or know it, there's a key difference between joy and happiness. Joy and happiness are not the same thing. Happiness is fickle. Happiness is fleeting. Happiness comes and goes. Happiness requires particular circumstances, you know, happy circumstances. You know, you give me £1 million, I'm happy. Yes? Should I text you my bank details right now, or should we do that later? Yeah? You give me £1 million, I'm happy. Did you say I should text it, Jim? Okay? Right? Joy, on the other hand, doesn't matter. When I get Jumoke's £1 million check and I put it in my bank account and it turns out that check is made of rubber, my happiness can leave. My joy is still going to be there. Joy hangs around. Joy sticks around. Joy doesn't get chased off by trouble or difficulty. Joy is there through thick and through thin. And when we build our own kingdoms, when we follow our own agendas, you know, of course, it can give us happiness, but that it's temporary. We did it. It's a temporary happiness. It's not lasting joy. Building God's kingdom, now contributing to God's kingdom, that's what enables us to step into and live in the place of joy, a joy that can never be replaced. Joy is a deliberate act of obedience. It doesn't say if you want, you know, joy might come to you. It doesn't say, you know, it says be joyful. It's an instruction to be, to enter into, to press into the joy of the Lord. And so joy is an obedience, is an obedient act in response to what Christ did. It's in response to who Christ is. Being joyful in hope means to us that in every situation we choose faith. No matter what that situation looks like, we trust God and we're confident in Him. because he will come through for us. And our hope in him is real. It's not a fleeting hope that comes and goes. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 declares that faith is the confidence in things hoped for, the evidence or the assurance of the proof or the proof of what we don't see. That's what faith is. Even though we don't yet see what's going to happen in the future, we can hope for the best, God's best, and be confident in faith that God is going to do what's best for us. And he's going to do it because we trust him. That's why he does it. Yeah. When we are joyful in hope, what we're doing is we're working to strengthen our bond, our relationship with God, our interaction with God. Choosing to be joyful in hope shows that we're turning over. We're actually turning over our attention beyond what we're feeling. We park what we're feeling and we're turning our attention to God, the one who has the power to change what we're feeling, to change our circumstances. You know, some of you know this, my favorite scripture, my life scripture, as I call it, Romans 8:28. It says, we know that all things work for the good of those who love him, those who are the called according to his purpose. And saints, it doesn't matter who you are, what you do in any walk of life. There are going to be times of great blessing and there are going to be times of great challenge, great difficulty. There are going to be times where you are walking in the successes of life, and there are going to be times, to be blunt, where you just mess up. You get it wrong. That is a fact of life. And that is normal life, as it were. There'll be times where you feel full of joy. There'll be times where you feel desperate, dejected, rejected, depressed. It's like day and night. It's like mountain and valleys. It's just the way it is. Wrong song, sorry. And it's because of this that through the word, through the Bible, God calls us to be steady, to be tenacious. He calls us to keep going, to stick at it. He calls us to persevere over the long haul. The hope that Paul is talking about is the hope. When the New Testament, if you see the New Testament talking about the hope we profess, the hope we cling to, the hope we talk about, it's the hope of a future to come, the hope that is in Jesus Christ, a hope not in this world, but in the new world when Christ comes again. The question is, how are we going to do this? How do we remain joyful in hope? How do we hold to this hope, especially when life is hard? You're battling an illness. You've got money problems you can't shake. How do you battle it? How do you hold on to hope? I want to lay out a number of ways, three ways in which we can be joyful in hope. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're doing, when we live out the word of God, and there's lots of things we can do, if we do these three things, we can remain joyful in hope. Number one, to be joyful in hope, expect the best. You've got to position your expectations. Rather than worrying about the worst that can happen, you expect God to bring you the best, his best. God gives us a promise, and he has promised to give us a future. He says, I know the plans I have for you, a future and a hope, plans of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end, a good end, an end that I have purposed for you, an end that I have set out for you, plans not to harm you, plans to give you a future. And this year, I need you, I ask you, I implore you to take God at his word. Take him at his word. Come on. Didn't we? You don't know people who say they believe God and sometimes act like they don't. And sometimes it's situation. Sometimes it's some of us here. Some of you are looking at me right now. Perhaps some of you who are worshiping from home or wherever else you are online. You have gone through untold difficulty. I'm not taking that away. Some of you are still, right now, as I'm speaking, living in that valley of the shadow of death. I know that and I don't take that away. Yet, I am saying, don't waste your time or energy projecting and worrying about worst case scenarios, the maybe not and the possibly nots of life. Put your concerns for your future in the hands of God and trust him to intervene in your situation. Expecting the best outcome by thinking hopefully about our future helps us to experience joy, because what are we doing? We're focusing our minds on the source of joy, God. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31, though some of you might know it, It guarantees us that God will renew our strength when we place our hope in Him. That those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. So number one, you know, to remain joyful in hope, expect the best. I think I've got a battery thing going on here. I'm sensing, maybe I should just go to this one. Yeah? If you swap me over. Done? Fantastic. Thank you. So number one, to be joyful in hope, expect the best. Number two, to be joyful in hope, stop indulging in false hopes. Stop it. You know, if you think something is going to happen and then it doesn't happen, then you start feeling depressed, you start feeling upset, it breaks your heart. And, you know, scripture says, Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And we live our lives in such a way that we set ourselves up to be disappointed. Has anybody here been disappointed by someone in 2023? Let me see your hand. Somebody disappointed you in 2023. It's virtually the rest of the room, most of the room. Some people weren't disappointed. Please hook me onto your network. You know, I want to know your friends. Because some of the people I know, family members even, disappointed me. Disappointed. You expect something of them. Think about the last few decades, not just on a personal basis. Let's look at it on a global basis. You know, 14 years, as the beginning of the 20th century, 14 years into the 20th century, we had the First World War. You know how they described the First World War? They said it is the war to end all wars. After this war, there's never going to be war again. Guess what? Roughly 20 years later, what did we have? The Second World War. The Second World War, we were, okay, we've learned our lessons. And then we had the Cold War. That lasted 50 years. And then we ended the 20th century, you know, with the tearing down of the Berlin Wall. Do you remember that, 1989? You know, around there, 1990, you know, a couple of people are nodding. Some people are shaking their heads. Some people don't even know what I'm talking about. And they said, oh, the symbol of, you know, Berlin Wall, when we break down this wall, it's a symbol of everlasting peace across the world. Yeah, right. 20 years later, we were caught in a different kind of war. They called it the War on Terror. Remember that phrase? 20 years after that, look where we are today. Ukraine, Palestine, Colombia, Afghanistan, Somalia, Syria, Yemen. These are countries who are actively, we're talking tens of thousands of fatalities in these countries right now because of war. People say, when are we going to see the kind of world that we hope for? The answer is you're not. Sorry, you're not going to see it. It's not going to happen. Because we're fallen people in a fallen world. There's no utopia here. And it's in the nature of human spirits. It's human nature for us to think we can save the world. We can turn things around. There's only one place we can put our hope and receive a sure return. Our hope is built on nothing less than... your hope in Christ. So number one, to be joyful in hope, expect the best. To be joyful in hope, stop indulging in false hopes. Number three, to be joyful in hope, pray regularly, saints. Talk to God. Let Him hear your heart so you can hear Him. Prayer isn't just a shopping list, a request. It isn't just you placing your order. It's also about you letting God speak to you. That's real prayer. It's communicating with God. And I found that it's an essential method to gain hope and to gain joy. Anne, I don't know where Anne is. She's done a runner. She's legged it. Oh, she's at the back. Anne mentioned it earlier on. Morning prayer, daily prayers. Today is day 348. Every single morning I get up. 6:45, I go live to pray for 15 minutes. I actually went online and I'm like, how many have I done? 340. I'm telling you. Oh, sometimes I think to myself, wow, Deji, wow, well done, boy. Woo. And other times I'm like, do you know what? I can't believe it. Because I know me. You know what I mean? I know me. That I've been doing it every single day, 348 days. No matter what's going on. Hale or hearty, unwell or whatever. Home or not. No. Well, thank you, but it's okay. Thank you, Felix. I just love this man. I think I need to take you where I go. Whenever I go places, I'm like, Felix, come with me. Felix is going to be my hype man. But I want you to hear this. I have gained so much from it. That's where I'm going. It's changing me. It's changed me doing it. There is a spiritual discipline I have entered into by doing that. There's a place I have entered into by paying that price. That's not even counting the testimonies of those who join me in the prayers. Saints, never forget that God promises. Jeremiah 29:13. He says, whenever we seek him wholeheartedly, we can see our hope become reality if we seek him to find him. You will seek me and will find me. And when you seek me with all your heart, he says. And we can also pray for joy in every single circumstance. And doing so empowers us to experience joy in God's presence. Psalm 16 verse 10 says, you make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence. So instead of just chasing temporary, fleeting happiness and being disappointed with our circumstances, we can chase joy. We can chase joy through prayer and find joy in God's presence. Amen. Saints of God, when your hope is in him, all that you have. When your hope is in him, all that you have, you bring into him and he releases all he has to you. And your hope will touch and change every area of your life. When your hope is in God, that hope changes you. Place all your troubles in Jesus' hands and look to him. Remember, at crossover service, watch night service, we sang a song. We sang a song. Do you remember it? It says, is that it? I'll make every stage an altar. Every day an encounter. I just want your presence. Presence. I'll make every room your temple. Every song heaven's anthem. I just want your presence. Presence. I'm nothing without you, oh God. Nothing without your presence. I'm nothing without you, oh God. Nothing without your presence. PHBC family, let me tell you this. Whatever you have gone through, or maybe whatever you're going through right now, God says, rejoice in hope. Please excuse my language, but it doesn't matter what you're going through. The message is the same. Rejoice in hope. Now, some people are thinking, oh, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through right now. You're right. Absolutely. I do not know. I don't know. I don't have a clue what you're going through, but Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus knows what you're experiencing. And let me tell you, he knows your situation better than you. He was there before you got to it. And still he tells you, rejoice in hope. Your stuff is tough. You know, things are really difficult right now. Jesus knows it, and still he tells you to rejoice in hope. You have money issues. Have you? Jesus knows it, and still he tells you, rejoice in hope. There's a huge family dispute going on, is there? Jesus knows it, and still he tells you, rejoice in hope. No money, rejoice in hope. The children are driving you around the bend. Relationship problems. job matter. Just rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. Make a choice, make a decision to rejoice in hope. Choose joy and hope this year. Like the wings of a bird, joy and hope work together. Both of them are blessings that come from a relationship with God. We live in a fallen world, and sometimes what we're going through can undermine our sense of joy and our sense of hope. Still, we can go to God for help. God will give us the joy we need. He'll give us the hope we need in any situation, any circumstance, when we seek Him wholeheartedly. There's a song we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. You know that one as well? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. What's the next line? No turning back, no turning back. I mean, it's so powerful they had to say it twice. No turning back. Every single verse in that song ends with no turning back, no turning back. Every verse, he's got lots of verses. Every single one, no turning back, no turning back. This new year, you must resolve to rejoice in hope with no turning back. Amen. Amen. Remember this statement. The you of tomorrow is depending on the you of today to keep the promises made by the you of yesterday. The you of tomorrow is depending on the you of today to keep the promises made by the you of yesterday. Saints, from this moment on, you must rejoice in hope. The possibilities are endless for what God can do for us. Every new day is a new opportunity for you to journey afresh with our good, great, glorious, generous God. And He wants you to enjoy hope. He wants you to enjoy the hope. And as you walk with Him, as you obey His word, I trust that in all circumstances, you too will testify that 2024 was the year when you rejoiced in hope.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.